You want me to sort of respond?
Yes. Should we recap for the recording our questions?
I don't need it. But
yeah, okay.
You know, for 6,000 people, it's a different dynamic than what we're dealing with in Hungary. Say, really, New Rajadam, which is 300 people at the most. And that includes children at 6,000, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that means children as well. I have more water if you want, and not jug back there. So it's a different model. And it's not what I came to Krishna consciousness for. And particularly over the last 10 years, I've had to really just get into it more and more. And then I'm doing it now. I'm writing second book on our Varnashram series, which I'll probably write as long as I live, more or less as a Dharma Sutra. And I think that's where whatever the model is, you really need to start. And unless the laws are written down, and rights and obligations, because people only have rights according to their obligation. So you've got a Manu Samhita, and Manu Samhita is very relevant, but it also needs to be adapted. It needs to be adapted to modern time. It also needs to be adapted to actually a pure Vaishnav community, or at least a Gaudiya Vaishnav community. In terms of translating rituals and other things into Sankirtan. So that's without that, and without actually, doing really brainstorming, from what I can see, it is a lot of work, because, well, Prabhupada spoke a lot about Varnashram. He didn't give a lot of details. He repeated a lot of things, very basics, but the application of those basics is extremely complex and lengthy. And Varnashram isn't a die-cast model.
Much, you refer to, you would mind if we interrupt? And as you discuss, we ask questions. So you said Prabhupada spoke of many basics or fundamental sources.
But actually, maybe I'm going to forget, at least from what I remember, three main points that I'll address. I don't usually talk long.
Okay, I will just take question notes.
So the first point is that really in establishing, then you really have to be very clear on parameters and laws, rights, your obligations, and membership is a really key issue. Who's a member? One of our drawbacks is that, and when we talk about society, for me, society, there's only one type of society, and that's Varnashram. There's no other social model. It's Krishna's model. And Varnashram is, I'm not going to convince you that devotees need to follow Varnashram.
At least not the two of us. We don't have to
convince. So, devotees need Varnashram. Either they need it because they're conditioned souls, and if they're not, then they have to set the example for others. Everybody else is. Whoever, except for rare souls like Jad Bharat and so on, the Yudhisthira Maharajas, Arjunas, Lord Ramachandra, Krishna, Yogyaraksha, the two sisters, everyone followed Varnashram principles. Um, But what I was going to say, yes, the drawback is that we're not a state. That we're, and therefore we have ecumenic rules, that we're not a state. We don't have our own laws. Maybe here you can be a little more
flexible.
Maybe one reason is because this is such a lawless place, in one sense, so you can make your laws. And
it's actually a blessing for us, Maharaj, for Mayapur.
But that's how Varnashram really works, and that's when Varnashram only works with Kshatriyas, otherwise, forget it. And real Kshatriyas, and Kshatriyas need laws. And, you know, we can't, I don't know, you can't punish somebody for eating meat or, you know, for having illicit sex. You can have certain reactions. You can say you can't come to the temple. But that's a different thing than what Parikshit Maharaj wanted to do with Kali. So he wanted to kill him right on the spot. So we don't have that type of leeway. Someone comes and, you know, kills one of our cows, you know, what can we do? Legally, you can't do anything. So that's actually our weakness. And, you know, Prabhupada talked about Manipur. He says, I want to make this into a state, the Varnashram state. If you listen, in 97, he's talking to Swarup Dandai Maharaj. He says, I want to go to Manipur. They have a Vaishnav history. It's there. Prabhupada said the soldiers, because Tamakrishna Maharaj mentioned, or Jagtapa Maharaj mentioned, that when you go there, people are wearing tilak, even the soldiers are wearing tilak. So we will teach them to sing Nitai Gaur, Radhisham, Jai Arjun, Prabhu Vahan. That will be their marching mantra. And so he wanted to show, he says, I want to show, it's small enough. I want to show the rest of the world how Varnashram country, a country will work under Varnashram principles. Of course, Prabhupada never got there. And so Pandara Maharaj didn't do it. But unless we're really a state, or at least get as far as like the Vatican, where you're a state within the state, then we're very curbed, we're very limited by what we do. It becomes very voluntary. But that voluntariness is very much connected to membership. Mm-hmm. So, and we're working on membership in Hungary. Because right now, even ISKCON's constitution, who's a member? You believe in Prabhupada, you believe in GBC, and you believe in Krishna, you're a member. It's something maybe very, very broad, but that's not how India works. You don't get a passport just by believing in Gandhi.
Yeah.
You have to follow the laws. If you don't follow the laws, either you're in jail or you want to become a member, you want to become a citizen. It's very tough to be a citizen. They won't let you. So for us, because it's voluntary, our reach and the things that we can do are very limited, then devotees really have to be willing to accept those laws that you have in writing. And that's what at least a full-on member is, someone who enjoys full membership, whatever it is that you define, is that he fully accepts all the obligations, and that's when he gets full rights. So you're an Indian citizen, you got to follow it all, you know, you're out. Is there someone there?
There's someone here. Okay.
Oh, it's just a minute. I need to. No, it's just one of our mysteries.
Nasir?
Yeah.
Nasir. Salam alaikum. Sorry about that.
Ninja, when you get the mystery, that's auspicious time.
The mystery takes over everybody in India.
He's usually always here, but everyone's in a little bit of a bind because of a rupee problem.
Yeah.
So membership. So that then becomes a real issue in terms of defining at least core members. In Hungary, in New Rajadam, we what we've done is we use the term missionary. Mm-hmm. Word monks refers to men. And so devotees who live on the farm, there's only two types of people who live on the farm. The volunteers, those devotees who come for some time, and the maximum is 7 years, and then either they become full-time devotees or they have to move out. They can't just keep doing voluntary service, get old and say, I gave my whole life and now, you know, I'm 40 years old, what am I going to do? So they have to make that decision at actually after 5 years, and then there's still a 2 years period of grace, but then between the management and the devotees, they have to both be convinced that this is the right thing for this person. It's their dharma. Mm-hmm. They can do that.
That's a good system, I think. We'll solve many of our problems then.
Yeah.
So that, because otherwise you have this phenomena, the devotees
wake up.
Devotees, you know, they do 20 years as a brahmachari, and I want to get married. No, hang on a minute, you know. You can't get married at age 40, and then, you know, and I want this, I want that, but the temple is not going to provide that. That's not the standard of living that the temple provides. So it's not fair to them, and it causes conflict. And so you should be able to get to know somebody properly, and that's, you know, Varnashram Panchayat, at a certain age, they test. You know, are the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, are they really that? And if not, then we know their nature. So similarly, can someone live like this in a Brahminical way? He's not necessarily a Brahmin, but that type of lifestyle, and for us the lifestyle is no salary. It's just in kind. And everyone gets the same. Temple president, everyone gets the same. Grihasthas get more than brahmacharis. The family gets more. But all families get the same. Or at least, depending on the number of children. But all families who have three kids, no one has three kids, they have only two kids, they all have the same allowance.
Do you have a cap on kids number?
Hmm?
Do you have a cap on kids number?
There's a maximum and a minimum. They all get the same.
No, I'm asking children number.
Yeah.
You have to.
Oh, how many children to have?
Yeah.
For those devotees, they have to apply to the temple council that, you know, we'd like to have another child. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Can we afford it? I mean, generally, we don't try and discourage. Mm-hmm. But it depends on the finances, because they're dependent. Mm-hmm. On the temple, so the temple has to be able to say yes, because once they say yes, then they're taking responsibility.
Yes, it's for a system. Actually, traditionally, one should ask permission from spiritual masters, yeah. So I guess that's in line with our philosophy.
So otherwise, you can't, because these missionaries, then what it means is that the temple's taking responsibility in terms of health, in terms of retirement. I'm not saying what it is, we're just saying we're all together in the same boat and we sink or swim together. Mm-hmm. And it means no private ownership, everything belongs to Radhe Shyam. Everything belongs to the deities, which really means the society.
Yes.
When we say everything belongs to the deities, like...
Legally.
Yeah.
Legally.
Yeah. If they have some ancestral property or previous property which is there outside Vrajadham, let's say, like someone has a money in bank, like let's say he has about 10,000 euros in bank, so what happens to that? That also they have to surrender to the temple?
They do either one of two things. Either it's given off to family, who aren't devotees, I assume, and the family manages, or they give to the yatra. The formula that they give to the temple is that half of it goes into a reserve account, which is for them. It's held in their name, but it's in ISKCON, it's not in their private account. And the other half is given to Radha Shyam.
Wow. How did you get this level of surrender?
That's why there's only about 150 devotees living on the farm. Additionally, what happens if they get money from their parents because for accommodation? So the house is not theirs, the land is not theirs. It's like what Prabhupada here wondered in Mayapur. But we make a contract. What happens if after 20 years as missionaries they leave, they lose everything? So we make a contract with the money, with the funds, which means that, all right, you've given 10,000 euros to build a house, although don't build a house for 10,000 euros in Hungary. That requires quite a bit more. It's more like here, prices. And,
here means in Mayapur.
Huh?
Here you mean Mayapur.
Yeah.
It's gone Mayapur. Outside Mayapur is still cheaper.
There, it's 300,000 foreign, which in terms of euros per square meter, 30,000 for square meter divided by 4 is about 75. It's more expensive. Say it's about 5 to 6,000 rupees square foot.
It's more expensive.
Labor is more expensive. So they have a contract for the money, and if they leave, then they can get it back with certain terms. I don't remember the exact details, but it's a balance. There's no interest. It's inflation connected to a certain degree.
So you have a separate, like a corpus fund, where you keep this backup money, and then if somebody leaves, then from there you just give it. That's a very nice system also.
I mean, if everyone was to leave, we don't have that much money. But there's a certain flotation system. And right now, we're in a transition to introducing this missionary membership, because it wasn't how it started. We all started like everyone starts in ISKCON, you just come, and it's undefined. You're like an undefined volunteer, and it's open-ended up until there's a problem.
Until it ends.
Yeah. So, and but then once you take this vow, and you know, devotees do it, we have a whole process, a system, a vow, a yajna, and they do it once a year. Once devotees take that vow, then it's a vow, and it's also legal.
So vow and agreement.
There's an agreement.
Combined, yeah?
Yeah, it's a legal nice, legal contract. So not everyone's going to do it, but then for other devotees, we don't take care of your health. We don't come to us when you get old. Don't come to us for, and don't expect free prasadam. If it's a sponsored priest, fine. But then you have to pay. And it has other rights. Neither can expect that they send your kids to the Gurukul automatically. Yeah. Unless you live at the same standard as the children in the school, your Gurukul costs. You may have to pay, or you will pay. You will pay the costs because, you know, for devotees, their Gurukul expenses are covered. But otherwise, you have to pay Gurukul costs. Mm-hmm. But it's not guaranteed. Because why? Because you're not necessarily living at the same standard. You're not living on the farm. So that means you're not going to Mangal Arati, you're not going to the morning program, and the other, it's a different standard.
Yes, yes.
So devotees on the farm, they don't just, you know, when do they come to Mayapur? If the farm can afford it, and it has sort of a staggered program, but no one has Nirmama Noha Dirjita Sangha Dosha, no one has any personal property. So everything is dependent. So it's very much a brahminical lifestyle. It's the way it was when I joined. That's what we called it. We just called it Krishna consciousness at the time. Things have changed since then. And in kind, no salary. Now, there are other devotees who decided that, well, I don't think I can live this way. And then it's a question of some of them we can employ, but there's only so many that we can employ. And we employ them. We don't really give them much more than what our full-time devotees cost. We give them as much as they cost. But for them, we also, they have to, for our devotees, we also have to put things aside for, and we're working on a retirement fund and pension, which is again not a pension that goes to the devotee. It's a pension that will go to the yatra to maintain the temple, New Rajadham, to maintain the devotee. We're investing it.
We're investing it
in real estate.
Okay.
So and it's meant to generate a certain amount of income for the devotees, and we have that. We've been doing that for about the last 10 years. We'll see what happens when the first wave of devotees retires. Now it's easy. I'm going to be the first person to go on a pension.
Yeah,
but I'm not going to get money. I'll just be maintained, and it's just not that a whole generation of devotees hits, and the yatra doesn't have any money to maintain them. So unless we prepare in advance, and even now, it's, you know, the first generation of devotees are in their 40s.
Maharaj?
Late 30s and 40s.
I just wanted to ask you, I mean, this is a little bit side point, and I'm sorry, but just connected to Mayapur specifically, that I just wanted to request you if we could somehow, on this particular point, network and encourage other yatras to do it, because many people come to Mayapur, and then suddenly they become our liability. That, you know, they come here and
responsibility.
They have responsibility. Yeah, more
why
liability.
Should they be responsible? Why should these people? They're not your responsibility.
Yes, but that's what is the catch 22. Like it's just recently, there was a situation where somebody had some heart problem and there's quite a big expense. If we don't help, then the person dies. If we help, then our finances dies. So
you may help them, but they got to pay you back. Unless they died. Unless they got to go after their relatives.
Yeah. So something like this to the GBC, how to be related to Mayapur, you know, that this is sort of responsibility that the yatras should be encouraged to take, and then...
Yeah, it's madness. I'm a devotee. I've been serving 40. Where have you been serving? I was serving in Croatia. What's Mayapur got to do with your service in Croatia? Then Croatia should pay the bill, not Mayapur.
Yeah, but then they
so rights based on your obligations, your service. And it's the devotees here whose medical bills that you pay, the full-time devotees, not devotees. I take a bread. Well, I'm the Hungarian yatra's responsibility. I'm not my first responsibility. So this whole floor belongs to the Hungarian yatra. You know, I got an inheritance from my mother, so I gave the money to them. And they bought this. I have nothing. So you need to do that. Otherwise,
we want to do that, Maharaj. Actually, this is one of the things which affects my service quite often. And some of the GBC members, perhaps, if you would be willing to at least bring it to their attention that this situation and these issues exist. Then I don't expect so much going to happen, but at least the buildings start to build some awareness that there is
Yeah, I don't have that problem. This is the world's headquarters. New Vrindavan is not the world's headquarters. Yes. So it's, you know, we get some visiting devotees, and we have arrangement. If we've invited them, then fine, we pay for their expenses. But if we don't invite them, we don't pay for the expenses. I mean, when I come here, I mean, Michael's not paying for my taxi here or my resident keep here. Never has. No reason why it should.
What was, in your understanding, what was Prabhupada's vision when he said that Mayapur is world headquarters? Because I have also seen in some purports Prabhupada writes that we are inviting people to come and retire in Mayapur and Vrindavan and chant Hare Krishna. We are able to provide you facilities and prasadam and things like that. There are some written words in the purport where Prabhupada specifically mentions about Mayapur and Vrindavan. So what should be, I mean, in your understanding...
Can I just go to the bathroom for a sec?
Yeah. We're getting off. Well, I guess it is membership. It's still related.
Yeah, we need to go back to the membership. But from, because in my mind is always that issue, you know. It's not the first time. I remember I had to take...
No, because the point is that it's a very important topic. And it's better to have opinion from different leaders.
Yes.
What it means to be world headquarters.
Yes.
You know that, and what is our obligation as a world headquarters? Like when people walk in, then natural our obligation is to take care of them. What is our obligation in terms of being a world headquarters?
Yes. I understand. That's a very important question.
We need to, and this is something which will keep coming because.
I know.
Yeah.
You remember this Satyamakan Dadu when he fell and he shattered his hip? I had to take such a big long. And luckily that devotees from South America paid it back, you know?
Yeah.
But sometimes it may not always happen like that. Like in this last case.
Yeah. We don't even know whether we'll get money or not. And it's very hard to say no. Especially when it is life or death situation. It's very hard to say no. And they came to me, I said, first that question came to me. One devotee called me and then he said that we are taking him to so-and-so place, can you please give me some money for the temple? I said, I don't have money. He said, can you give me some money to the hospital? I said, I don't have money in the hospital to give you that. So what can I do? I said,
it's not with the man, I can just send people to you. But thanks for the insight here.
I said, please talk to... I asked him whether he's a brahmachari. I said, yeah, he's a brahmachari. He said, please talk to the mission back to
how long are we going to?
Until we could be here for the next 7 days, non-stop minimum, but...
1:30, quarter to two?
Yes, like this, that sounds...
Whatever is comfortable for you.
Yeah,
I was thinking... More like your comfort than...
So I'll just have a schedule. What were we talking about?
I asked a question that what is your understanding of what it means to be international headquarters as our obligation, because in light of what Prabhupada writes in some of the purports that, you know, we are inviting people to come and chant in Mayapur, we are giving prasadam, we are giving them place to stay and things like that.
Actually related much to membership we started working a little bit on the membership, inspired on that Hungarian model. And, you know, we have our membership, as you said, we have our core members, and that is different. And our members also include the local, you know, we cannot isolate really ourselves from the local Dambasis, and also that international community, it's to some extent a member also, yeah, because of the headquarters, so to say. So
yeah, there's no doubt that there is different tier membership and in Hungary also, so we've got these, you know, we're not using the term member yet.
Mm-hmm.
We're just saying we've got missionaries, we have missionaries, we have volunteers, and I mentioned, and when someone's a volunteer, then, and they're staying for 6-7, then we take responsibility. So they're you know, whatever happens to them, we've taken responsibility, but only for so long. We have missionaries, we have volunteers, then we have employees, and of course, we have two types of employees. We have devotee employees, and then we treat them proper employees, which means that we're not telling them that, oh, well, we just, you know, we're paying you just the, what we're paying the missionary, we're paying them that, but obviously then you have to pay whatever else legal requirements are there. Yeah, can you give me my cup? So we have to pay them legal requirements. So then there's employees, and then there's congregation, or we call them donors, although they don't necessarily donate so much, or you know, they don't donate. Donate whatever is another word. So those are really the four levels. Although we have,
it's a good name.
We have two levels of donors. We have missionary donors. They're not too many, but there's about 10. They give 50%. They work to donate, and they give 50%. Some give more of their income, and that amounts to a lot. So some of them are very well-to-do. And then others who just... We're trying to get at least the minimum donor means 10%, that you give 10% of your income. Prabhupada didn't mention 10%, he mentioned 50%, but that's pretty rare. And then what is the 50% of? But even if it's just of their profits or whatever they take home, that would be fine. What did Prabhupada want in Mayapur? I can't tell you, I wasn't personally present, but I know Prabhupada, and I don't think Prabhupada would be stuck by what he said. In other words, for Prabhupada, he's a very practical person. And we provide prasadam. Does it mean we provide free prasadam for everyone? Anyone who shows up here? Probably not. Especially for those people who can afford it. For devotees who, I don't know, got initiated in 1973 when Prabhupada left, for the last 40 years they've been working Ambarishni to get free prasadam. If he was living here, I doubt he'd even ask for free prasadam. That he comes here for a couple of weeks, yeah, why not? And the GBC members, they get him fine. But I don't expect free prasadam. And so it's, I think it's something that you need to work on individuals. You're not gonna ask the locals when they come here, when you invite Gaudiya Math over, you're not gonna ask them to pay. So you have, for different audiences, you're gonna have to do it differently. But when someone comes here and buys an apartment for $70,000, you're telling me he wants free prasadam?
Nice to speak with you. That's your real.
It would. you have to communicate to them, but it's not possible. You can't have the 10,000 people are going to move over here, 15,000 people, and then you got 1,000 people and maintaining these people and feeding them and taking care of their health and their age and their retirement and their out of the question.
No, it's actually.
And it has to be very clear to everyone that we're not doing this.
Just to share a story with you, last year now, I guess, or no, not last year, this year, after March, I got an email from one devotee. You know, we have this office where we facilitate visa, etc., etc., so there is some 500 rupees fee for the letter, and situation like this, spend $70,000 for the apartment, whatever, you know, I don't know exactly, but, you know, something like that, and he wrote this letter where he was very offended that we are so money-minded, everybody here, that we charge him 500 rupees. For the letter, yeah, but how, you know, how can we run an office if we have no income, yeah?
Just need to communicate, and I guess a sort of change of culture. You need to be very clear. But I have the same thing in Hungary. I just had Tatvavit Prabhu, who's just there, and he wanted to come. So our process, oh, you want to come, you have to pay for accommodation and prasadam. Of Prabhupada disciples, we have a system that they don't pay for prasadam. So he was offended, sort of wrote, Svetatvat, when you go to Vrindavan, do you pay for accommodation? Do they someone pick you up at the airport for free? No. So then why here? What's the difference? That's not what happens in Mayapur and Vrindavan. You know, you have to pay for your taxi, you have to pay for your accommodation. Why is it any different in New Rajadam? You think we're richer than they are? But, all right, then he understood. It was not an issue. But this idea, I'm a devotee, and I show up at a temple, I show up at an airport, and I should get picked up and everything. So, no, it shouldn't be like that. But maybe you will have certain audiences that it has to be like that for sake of, because the Dambasis and security, for Gaudiya Math, for other, I don't know, senior devotees, what you want to give for Prabhupada disciples. There was that idea of providing that Bhajanwayan Maharaj was working on.
Retirement village.
Yeah, retirement village. And but otherwise, no, you need to survive. And there's no, even a welfare state, I mean, people pay taxes. All right, then pay your taxes. If you haven't paid taxes, don't expect the welfare. So, yeah, if someone wants that, that they're going to retire here and repay, all right, but then you pay in. You start paying, 10,000 rupees a month or something like that when you're 30 years old. And when you're 70, then, all right, we'll provide you. This is what you'll provide you and so on, because we've gotten something. But that's how a state works, is that people pay taxes. You don't pay taxes, you don't expect. And even welfare states are going bankrupt. They can't. They don't function. The whole retirement system is a joke. They just keep raising the age. The Hungary men's retirement age now is 70, but the average lifespan is 62 for men. Women live 10 years longer usually. So yeah, so then I can retire. But everyone knows it doesn't work anymore. In the 50s, there were six working people for every retired person. For instance, in the UK or Germany, now there's 2.5. It doesn't work. And people are living to 100 years now and beyond. So someone's going to come here at 60 years and you're going to maintain them for 40 years. It's financially impossible.
Not possible unless we go.
But you got to communicate it. It's got to be up there on the website, what you can expect from Mayapur. You have to communicate it well to the world. You got to communicate it to all of these people. Go, welcome, we're glad that you're here. This is what you can expect from us. If you want, if you're living here, or you, who lives here? I don't know who's going to live here. Very few people live here. But if you're going to visit here, then I don't know. Maybe you need to have a health payment scheme. Get people to pay into it.
Actually, we just discussed it recently that we didn't have that policy that for the students and the visas we give, that there was no compulsory health insurance only at certain age, but now we want to introduce also, because even young people can have an accident or sudden disease, and then it becomes a burden. And here is so 3,000 rupees a year, you get pretty good coverage.
India, you get 3,000 rupees a year.
We can arrange it for you, Maharaj, also if you want. I mean, you spend.
No, when I'm coming here, I get a health insurance. Just pay over there. I'm paying a lot more than that.
Yeah, I'm saying, and here up to 4 lakhs, no? For 3,000 rupees. He would know. He's the man who is constructing the hospital here.
But if I go to a resort somewhere, and prior to this, sometimes when I had to get away from ISKCON, I'd go to Lanka or something like that. They wouldn't rent me the house unless I've got health insurance.
Yeah. It's pretty standard. Yeah. Even when we travel in Germany.
Any travel.
So, and also in Europe when we travel, the first thing they asked, I took visa from Germany, Schengen visa, and the first thing they asked was, where's your health insurance?
Yeah.
That is one of the mandatory things.
And that's what you need here?
Yeah, festival also, actually many times we have, not only that, but yeah, so much time, actually many problems we had, but yeah, that maybe somehow we'll need to, our Mayapur GBC will have to help us with that sort of ideas to make the place more, because devotees won't like these things. They struggle to get the ticket to come, and then if you on top of that, you ask them this and that.
It costs 15,000 foreign. When I come here for a month, it costs me, I don't know to what limit, but about 15,000 foreign, which is about, say, 4,000 rupees.
Yeah, it's not so much.
But that's very limited. It'll be quite a limited coverage, mm-hmm. and I can't have anything to do with my health issues, mm-hmm. my existing health issues.
No. Non-existent.
It's just something. Yeah.
Emergencies.
Other than that, I've got health insurance in England that costs something like £3,000 a month, and that covers serious medical treatment. But same thing in Hungary. Us as the yatra, to these missionary devotees, we're paying the government. We have to pay them. We're deciding we don't want to pay them in terms of the pension. That's why we have to pay pension. We have to show them. Either we pay it private, which is on into our own, or we have to pay the government. But the law is you have to pay pension for old people. Health, that we're paying into the national health. So we have to pay for all the devotees for national health. So similarly, if people want to live, they have to have something. So either they've got their own health system, or you've got it here, or you set up with the government here, or you have one here in Raipur.
We generally have started an internal health insurance system, which we are running for the past like 4 years, but this is very limited to only those who serve in Raipur. Because insurance is a very risky thing, and if we don't do it right, then we can get into a lot of trouble, because we have to make sure that we have good corpus and we have some financial strength to, if there are more claims, we need to face the claims. So, but anyway, we are moving in the direction where we can have an internal insurance system, which would have some financial strength to really take care of the insurance. We are moving towards it. Can I come back to the missionary maintenance model, Maharaj? I have some question there. It's more like a detail. I'm just trying to understand that. What kind of facilities you provide for them, for missionary devotees? In terms of, you said that everything is in kind. So how does it work? What kind of facilities you provide for them?
You get the accommodation, which is sort of standard accommodation.
It's like a two-bedroom, three-bedroom, one-bedroom.
Depends on how big the family is. And depends, you know, where, how their seniority also. If they just walked in, because we have to build everything, like here. So, and building depends upon, do we get funds? If they're not bringing funds, then we have to wait until we have. So sometimes they're not even living on site. Sometimes they're living in the village, adjoining village, in a rented accommodation, which is... And then prasadam is either the prasadam that we provide, or they get same cost as what we would cook, and they do at home. Originally we all ate together. Then when kids and babies started to come in, and the facilities are limited, there's temple room one place, so then we give the same, but the amount is the same. So more or less it's a very communistic, very communal lifestyle. It's not a basis of different need. There's need is just defined by, is it a brahmachari? Then all brahmacharis the same. I guess you could say I'm the same also. My expenses are different in terms of travel and other things, but in terms of maintenance, I'm the same as a brahmachari. I've got Shambhihari, assistant, who's another person. In terms of families, then it's just standard. Householder couple, standard. One child, all one child, standard. This is what we're providing, you take it, you leave the bus.
What about stuff, I don't know, about like a luxury kind of, you know, I don't know, makeup for the ladies or...
They get a certain amount of allowance, but everyone gets the same allowance. Mm-hmm. What they do with it, we don't supervise.
Okay, so from that, if they want something a little extra, then they can decide, okay, save for a watch or save for this or do
yeah.
this or that.
Yeah. there's a certain amount there, although we try and get them to spend the money in the temple shop, community shop, so that we keep it going. And we're trying to get rid of the money, ultimately, actually. There we call them shamas.
Shamas.
Yeah, and here, ideally, with a huge community like this, we could actually have our own currency, yeah, and internal. Get away from rupees.
get away from Mahatma Gandhi. Yeah.
Yeah, if we could barter, because our community is too small. We've got a much larger community. Yeah. If they would actually cooperate with that.
Yeah, I mean, we people built a few story houses from the little shop they have in that's the kind of money we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's just hard to get cooperation here. I mean, I can see Maharaj with such a good example yourself. You're not just preaching, you're doing it yourself, so that's definitely one of the strengths of the community there. For us, one of the challenges is that things have been not inheriting a blank sheet. I have somewhat of an abstract art painted on it, where there's no really systems and there's lots of very much ingrained strong habits and such a culturally and value system diversified community, which makes it.
Yeah, it was. It's certainly a different thing. I've seen, for instance, I saw Govinda Maharaj in Kazakhstan. He had a existing community farm and so on, and then he tried to mold it to the Hungarian model. It didn't work. So we sort of built up from scratch. We didn't necessarily have a full vision in the beginning, but I, you know, before we had a constitution right from scratch. Now that constitution's expanding, but at least we had like a 5-page document, and this is your rights and obligations. We were more flexible. We're trying to.
Would it be possible to get to share documents, whatever documents you have?
Yeah, you speak Hungarian. It's all in Hungarian. I had this issue before. We translated some things.
Uh-huh.
We have a very good document on. Well, when Radha Krishna's here, he's the person to.
Krishna?
Radha Krishna.
Okay.
He's going to be the GBC. And he's the person who lives there. He's going to be the GBC, so he wasn't the president, but he's part of the board, temple board. And he's the one to really also talk to and discuss things with.
I've met him a few times.
He'll be here in Mayapur. Maybe, I'm not sure. Well, if they finally decide to make him GBC, because it's been 4 years I've been waiting.
Mm-hmm.
So if they put him on. If he's not here now, then he'll be here next year or 18. Anyway, in terms of, it's like kibbutz, and it's quite, for you that would be really an inner core brahmachari, but you've got a huge brahmacharis and brahminical. I call them brahminical people, not necessarily Brahmins, but brahminical people who are living by what they need, and that it's quite a homogeneous standard.
No one knows a lot about kibbutz. In Israel, they were, I don't know, still popular, but they're quite popular. He has quite some experience. No one? I think you know.
No, yeah.
But he knows a lot about how kibbutz is popular.
Even there's a community in US now. It's
Amish.
Amish have private ownership. They have private ownership. They're sort of strict in other ways. They're very extremely conservative.
When it comes to clothing.
Devamriti, you want to talk to Amish, talk to Devamriti Maharaj. He's the expert on them.
They don't have Amish West.
No.
Abish East.
They have a sort of splinter groups, but they're phenomenally conservative. You know, they're driving horse carriages today. So much so that in certain states, they've made carriage lanes for them, horse carriage lanes on the roads, Pennsylvania. And he knows there were 5,000 in America at the turn of the last century, and sociologists predicted that they would die out. There's 400,000 of them now. They don't preach. They don't preach. You can't become an Amish. It's just from their children. And they have 95%, or 95 or 98% of their children stay.
Wow. Grow my beard and visit the community seriously.
They're far out. They're very far out. You can get, Maharaj gave me, I got books and video. They have this thing for kids. Their kids are actually Amish until they become adults, until they become 18. They can't join. Kids.
Yeah, we'd like
when they ask them, are you Amish? Say, well, I'm living with my parents, but it's not. And then, when they, and at a certain point, they give them 2 years grace. You want to go crazy? Do whatever you want. And then you can come back. And they have such, in the 90s, retention. And what percentage we got? 9.
Yeah.
If you're lucky.
So they, at the very, yeah, they really, they don't, you know, they don't change their values. They stick to it. So this lot, and of course that's another aspect of just self-sufficiency with Prabhupada. From Mayapur. When I first came here, 95, 96, I was buying all my cloth from Mayapur. 75 and 76. There's, I think it was Jagannath Forum. We were told, you have to buy all your stuff. All right, we buy all this stuff to make to support my food.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was just in terms of this membership. I think we have to be. This is closer to being a state than anything else. You've probably got more people here than the Vatican does. And you can't run just. Giving, and it's like who's giving? Where's it coming from? You take full responsibility for those people who give their lives, and then if someone else buys into some kind of scheme, and then over beyond that, it's all right. You have a Janmashtami festival when everyone gets free prasadam because someone in Calcutta sponsored it, and so on. But that's as far as it can go.
Yes. Yeah, this is. I think we mostly understand that this is very, very important, especially taking into consideration the last year that people come with so many expectations, and we have no relationship with them really. So we came up with the model, and now that we have Brahmachari Council, is all for the Brahmacharis. That's the root. Grihastha Council is for the Grihasthas, and everybody else is Damseva office or at the Dambasis, but even within that, then we need to create some.
We need to create some setup for where international devotees can.
Yeah, have international devotees, and also just because somebody like we had this month or 2 months ago, there was some discussion, and many Grihasthas so unhappy that ISKCON doesn't employ everyone. But some of them who were complaining ISKCON doesn't employ, they have their own businesses where they don't employ devotees also, but they expect us to employ devotees, but they're running a shop or they're running a business and they're employing outside people. So it is a stupid hypocrisy, that's all there is to it, really.
We tell, our devotees, when in terms of missionaries, because how many missionaries can we maintain? Well, it seems like the more people, because what's the basis for their maintenance? And right now we're still living off of currency. So the more people we have, the lower the lifestyle is going to get for a while, because the sankirtan is sort of fixed, and the donations become fixed, and that goes actually for, you know, real infrastructure and development. So devotees have to be willing to really be what Prabhupada wanted, is self-sufficient. Is that this lifestyle is not a sustainable lifestyle in India?
Yeah.
You can't sustain this. It has to be on the basis of something external. Okay, there's a Hungarian, there's a yatra somewhere in Hungary, and they've got a fund, you know, which this property belongs to Radhe Shyam, and you know they're going to pay the utilities and so on. And when devotees stay, these devotees staying, they're paying. I had guests come over here, they had to pay. And the only people who want free are devotees who were full-time devotees or quasi-full-time, semi. But congregation members, they don't come here asking for free prasadam.
Yeah.
Professional people don't ask for free, they don't expect for anything to be free. But I think if we communicate, and that's what we're making very, very clear, because we do get a lot of guests in Hungary. Unless we've invited you to give a seminar or a class or something, then you have to cover your expenses.
Yeah, my mom had the same. My grandfather's mother was Jewish, so we had some Jewish sayings at home. And my mom used to always say, we should love each other like brothers, but account like Jews. So I guess that's the spirit.
And when devotees, the other aspect is when devotees can't be missionary, the devotee says, I don't think I can live that type of lifestyle. I'd rather continue working in New Rajadam and just be as an employee. So, okay, well, number one is we have a limited number of employees.
Yeah.
Number two, if we get a big influx of brahmacharis, you may be out of the job.
Mm.
So that's fine. But you have to be very clear at this point, and it's very clear to them, we're not taking care of, you know, you take care of your health, you take care of your future. Whatever issues come up, of course we're a community, but financially you can't expect anything, and you work here, but if all of a sudden, you know, like Prabhupada said, millions of people are going to come to our farms and they're just voluntarily, then you're going to be out of a job. Because you decided that, not because we asked you to. You decided that you want to be an employee, so therefore we're treating you like an employee. We're not treating you as a missionary whom we have to take care of. We got enough maintaining those who give their lives.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to be conditional, then we have to be conditional.
Yes. Yeah, this relationship has to be very clear. That's why that is so important. Everybody's clear in their relationship, and relationships are clear, and everybody's satisfied, and we can function. Maharaj,
it would have been nice if it was my poor city, here is, I don't know, 250 acres, and no one owns anything here, my poor builds everything, you want to come here, you pay taxes, you rent, there's no, you know, Budapest was the second most beautiful city in Europe, it was called the second Paris, because it was also built more or less from scratch. No one owned anything. The whole city, everything was owned by the municipality. And historically in Europe, this concept, you know, it was feudal system. No one owned anything. And it's the same thing here. This private property is a new introduction. It came in with the Industrial Revolution. Prior to that, everything was feudal. Landlords owned everything. People may have been living on this land for the last 100 generations, but you give 10% of your harvest to the landlord, and the house, everything's owned by them. So ideally, that would have been nice for my poor. It would have solved a lot of problems, because then when people don't follow this, these are the conditions that you're living here. Otherwise, you're out.
Anyway, we have a situation what we have.
Yeah.
It's not a very pleasant situation, but...
So how do we, what would be your suggestion? This obviously coming up with these ideas and, you know, identifying, we kind of st- started working on that. Similar discussion, maybe not as refined as you are talking about, but similar discussions. And there's really the biggest need of the moment is to create a certain cultural shift that, you know, there's a couple of leaders who may be thinking those terms, but majority of the devotees, they're very set in their old ways of thinking. So what would be your recommendation on how to create that cultural shift here in Mayapur, where we move towards this? And these people are more open and more embracing, really see the benefit of, you know.
I guess you need to be very clear. Have you got the backing of the leadership to do that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking, have you got...
Looks like,
yeah, but the backing is... Here in Mayapur is a very phenomenal place in some ways that we don't have a single leadership. We have multiple personalities involved. And often, I guess, still today, maybe it's changing now, I don't know, but that there's not often a single voice coming from that, yeah. So that creates a little bit of a problem, yeah.
I mean, it doesn't have to be a single person, but at least it has to be a common voice.
Yeah, that's the problem.
It's a very challenging thing.
Yeah, that's very challenging, because especially when things are going nice, then it's always, you know, everybody laughs together, yeah. But when there is a challenge, and you know, when those emotions of somebody comes and appeals and this and that, and often then when there is a problem, everybody approaches problem in a very individual way, and that compounds the problem, at least
anyway,
for us.
It would seem that until the leadership's on board, so in Hungary we do for the we have a national council that meets quite regularly, but on this idea of introducing Varnashram, we have a meeting at the beginning of every year, 3 days, and everyone's on board anyway.
Yeah.
More or less. So the leadership's on board, and everyone, and without that, it's going to be very hard, because you get into a lot of politics unless you segregate and you just pick one place and start to develop.
It's a very difficult marriage in our situation, because there's different opinions at the top level. So this multiple opinions at the top level makes our situation very quite kind of difficult to operate with, because we can't take a stand. This is where...
But then how can you do it for? You have to have... Leadership has to be on board.
And the part of the problem, I'm just sharing with you that, again, the blessing and the... the problem of being international, that everybody wants to be involved, and we want everybody to be involved, but then when everybody's involved, they involve in a slightly different... they have a slightly different vision of what Mayapur should be like. Yeah? That creates a... because it is an international project, so...
But you still need a vision.
Yes.
And you need a vision, shared vision, and then how to realize that vision in a shared way. Otherwise, the leadership's not...
Actually, Maharaj, sharing with you that part of that problem which we had in February, March was just that on the top leadership there was so polarized vision. Such a big fracture and polarized vision that it just seeped down to the devotees, and then we had the situation of that. It really just started with the vision, nothing more than that. And it turned into a very political, exactly what you said, turned into lots of politics.
So I wouldn't really know what to say, because I couldn't. I know in terms of Varnashram, I'm sort of trying to do my little bit in ISKCON, but I realize it's going to take a long, long time. And so I'm just doing what I'm convinced of and what the devotees in Hungary are convinced of. which may not be perfect, and it probably isn't. We've got to do something, but at least it's unified.
Yes.
And this, what will happen, who knows?
Yeah, I was just wondering how we get away with even using the terminology you use.
But who are you talking about? You're talking about Mac, or you're talking about the GBC body?
We talk Mac, yeah, GBC.
Mac is more or less, see, as far as, like, I worked previously with the deputy directors, I was one of the deputy directors, and now I'm also in Mac. So in my short stint of like 4 years, I have seen both administrations, like how the deputy directors worked and how the Mac worked. Always there seems to be a working harmony at that level, that even as deputy directors, in spite of all our differences, we did have a working harmony.
So are you saying that the GBC is?
Yeah,
the GBC body you're talking about, or the GBCs?
See,
if I may say, Maharaj, I would say both the levels, there is...
GBC body is not an issue. GBC is so disconnected that they'll buy into whatever vision is presented to them.
That's the problem, Maharaj. The disconnect seems to be the problem. The body is disconnected.
No, don't ask the GBC to give the vision.
Mm-hmm.
If the MAC and the local management here, including the local GBCs, have a vision and they say, we want this, 99% of those GBC managers say, fine.
Yeah,
They don't want to have... The GBC body doesn't have ideas about what should happen in Mayapur in terms of your overall grand... greater vision. They'll buy into whatever the vision is.
Maharaj, I just wanted to I don't know, maybe I'm just sharing, and you know, maybe it's just misconception, and I'd be so happy if it was actually a misconception, but what appears to be happening, that we have always our GBC group, which is the Mayapur GBCs, so you know, they've been going through different names, and then there is couple of other GBC members who may be part of it or not part of it, but they seem to be putting some influence on our GBCs, and then that destabilizes them, because you know, they seem to be different visions of the
GBC. Wait, who are you talking about? Are you talking about Pragosh, or I mean, he's a local GBC, Vedai Chaitanya.
Yes.
He's a local GBC, Bhakti Chumaraj, Jack Talk Maharaj.
Yes, so amongst them seems to be some diverse.
But they're local GBCs. They're not the GBC body. They're your local GBCs, whether Pragosh stays on or something else.
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking about the GBC, but from the GBC body, outside of the local GBCs, the GBC members who are trying to influence Michael. I'm asking.
There are some. Yeah.
Who?
Badunayan Maharaj, for example. Now it seems to be a very strong voice. I guess maybe not so much on the vision,
no,
mostly just on what's going on the ground.
That's all. He's just got a strong voice, period. So, but not on vision.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying.
Overall vision. It's too much, and I don't think it's the GBC body's remit. They'll get behind the vision,
mm-hmm,
if they see that the all levels of management in Mayapur say this is the vision.
Mm-hmm.
Then I don't think that's your problem.
Mm-hmm. I'm very happy to hear.
Yeah. Then the problem is more with the diverse opinion within the local GBC.
Yes.
That's another thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only thing the GBC body could help with is to listen, we want a vision, and we can't get our GBCs to agree on a vision. But unless you have a vision, then what are we talking about?
Yeah.
And unless that vision's on paper,
yeah.
And you have a way forward, because especially just that, you got a car that's been going in this direction 100 miles an hour,
yeah,
and you want to turn that, you better be agreed what direction you're going to turn it, not the left.
No, I want to go right, no, I want to go up.
Yeah, because Simar's I'm so grateful you're taking the time, because it, you know, really clarifies, at least in my mind, many things, because, you know, the vision of Mayapur is always the master plan vision, but master plan vision is not really a social vision, it's just a just a useful
more like a construction statement than a social vision.
Yes. And many people equate the master plan with, but it's really nothing to do really with the
master
community.
Master plan fits into your vision and vice versa, but no, you're talking about the people.
Yeah, we're talking about the people.
Bricks are easy. They're not complaining. They take the load. They're not complaining.
They're happy to people be stamped on.
People, especially in Bengal. You saw that Prabhupada, yeah, statement said that I didn't want to come back to India. So the next time he says, you know that when I left, I didn't want to come back. And even when I came back, he just accused me of being CIA and so many other things. So he says, I even thought this really want to build world headquarters in Mayapur. It was Krishna's plan. So Krishna wanted it. So this is a real hotbed.
Yeah,
a lot of things wouldn't happen here if they were in another country.
Yes, definitely.
But anyway, we're here. So that I think is very important, those members, and that's probably sort of the most involvement you would get from the GBC body to say, listen, we're banging our head against the wall. Our GBC members have to buy into a vision. Please give them some mandate that you've got until 1 year, and we want a unified vision of where Mayapur is going. That type of thing the GBC body can do. They won't get involved in it.
I mean, even that would be something very nice. You know, if as a body, GBC body would say that, that we do want a vision for Mayapur, do whatever, but bring an unified vision. I mean, that would be a big step, big statement from GBC body.
That they'll do. That they'll do. And they won't get involved. Just like here, don't get me involved. I'll never get, otherwise what am I, I'm here to get away from all this kind of things. I don't want to be involved in any way. And they don't come here to get involved either.
Yeah.
They come here to have meetings about the world, and that can happen, but then you have to see what bodies in your lower bodies to present that and either take it through to the GBC GBC members. Obviously they should know. So listen, we're putting this forward to the GBC body.
Yeah, I think the proper thing is to address it with them somehow, with the MEB, that look, we need a more streamlined vision coming down from you, because it's not helping. And then if they do not do it, then that will be the next step.
Yeah. Otherwise, so many people had so many ideas. Even the GBC has done it for, you know, What's the new structure now? Things have changed. There was something before. You ask them. Write down what the management structure of Mayapur is. They won't know. They don't know. We don't know what happened since we were here last. But they're very concerned.
Yes.
They are concerned. Not just about that issue. They know. They know. But they're not all necessary visionaries. Some of them are Brahminical, some of them are others, so, you know, you need Kshatriyas to lead, and not Brahmins. But this place does need a real vision, and it needs a holistic vision that includes, you know, where the master plan fits in. That's fine, that's something else, buildings, but the people, and what's the community development, and the leadership has to be on board. Otherwise, you'll do what different people had in the past. Well, now we're doing this, and now we're doing that, and people just lose faith. So I think if you try and implement something and it'll fall on its faith, then the devotees will just lose faith. It needs that first, and maybe it takes time before start moving things in the bottom, gotta have things together at the time.
Yeah, I've been always my feeling also that it's very hard. I mean, otherwise you just like this Kingston course.
More ideas, do this, okay. Yeah, I've seen it so many times before. And then the bodies just get tired of it. And
we more or less have the situation here. Sometimes we ourselves are tired of it.
But parikrama, you do mindful parikrama, you know, start here, okay, let's do it. Back.
Yeah, this structure and that structure and this name and that name.
But at the moment, Maharaj is very nice. The one thing is very nice because practically most of the people who are now in the management, they may be at least two times or three times or four times some people. So everybody is very detached. So in being very detached, very everybody's very verbal about...
It has to be on the paper. The vision has to be on the paper. This is the vision. This is where we're going. And this is how we're going to get there. And this is what we need to get there. And then and how are you going to get all those things? Otherwise, you start trying to go and mobilize without that being... And that has to be...
Yeah, of course. In some ways, that's also a little bit different here with the Bengali specifically. In some ways, they're more difficult to burn out. Western people get burned out quite faster than Indians.
Burned
out. Oh. Yeah, like you make a plan and you don't really have a vision and then you try. So in that way, it seems like they have a bigger.
Flexible.
They're more flexible, but you know, if you get them and use them, you know, easier to get them because they take longer time. But of course, you know, once people lose faith, they lose faith. So you know, that's really what the issue is now.
But you need it to work.
Yeah.
And you need leadership. You can't do anything without leadership. And it has to be one.
Yes. Yes, it has to be one voice. You know.
Because it's on paper, and it's like this, and once it's there, once it's law, then no one's above the law. Everyone falls in line. Is that okay?
This is more than okay.
Can we say to start with? Perhaps.
But don't get me involved. I don't mind meeting every once in a while, but anyway, I won't.
It's more like today's session was very helpful for us in opening up our thinking process in different ways and things like that. In that sense, we would more like to talk to you if it is possible.
I don't know what's going on, Mahapur, so I can't really. Can't give you.
This is much as you said. I mean, what you're talking about is more or less what's happening in Mahapur, but it's happening in a structured way where. You have success because you have things which we don't have. And that's a very, very fundamental, so to say, things to hear is very, very important because in a complex place like Mayapur, it's so easy to get caught up with those detailed decisions, really, and forget about the fundamental, so to say, leadership principles you've been talking to us. So that depth which you have taken us, it's very, very important because we need a reset in a way here in Mayapur where, okay, we say enough is enough and, you know, it has to start at the very beginning. Yeah, that, as you said, that unified vision, that responsibility, with the responsibilities come certain, with obligations come certain privileges, and, you know, that whole very, very, very basic... So to say,
the principles.
Very basic principles of it all. Yes, social principles.
Social principles, political principles. From that side.
So in that sense, we may, if it is okay with you, we'd like to talk to you in that sense, in that context, in more broader context rather than.
I could share more things. We've touched on some.
Yes, I'm really grateful. Really grateful. Like Maharaj, Gurukul Maharaj always talk about the Shikari Brahmans. He was his vision for Gurukul graduates. The Shikari Brahman means Brahmanical, but at the same time capable of doing Shrikar, or auspicious works, like running in his Mahant, like in India, the temple. The Brahman who runs a big temple, big institution, and you know, this is so nice to see you. I'm just thinking, well, you know, exactly what you represent as somebody who is a very philosophically sound, but at the same time that philosophy touches the ground. Very good association for us.
Next time I'm going to go in December, and I'll be back in January. Of course, now it'll get a little intense, GBC meetings and everything. Yeah. And then if I survive that, then afterwards. You want a copy of this?
Yes, very much.
How will I give it to you? My internet's useless right now.